Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to It's Storytime Gather Around with your hosts, authors J.D. Holliday and myself, Christy Condaleo. Today, we will be reading a story to you here on Blog Talk Radio's World of Ink Network. Parents, if you or your children have a question or comment, you can call in after the story is read. Our number is 714-242-5259, or join us in the chat room here at Blog Talk Radio. It's Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on May 5th, 2012. This week's It's Storytime Gather Round can be listened to live at blogtalkradio.com/World of Ink Network, or you can listen to it on demand at any time you'd like, at the same address or on iTunes by researching World of Ink Network. You can also go to our site for information. It's storytimeforkids.blogspot.com. Hey, JD, we have a guest.
Yes, we do. We have a very special guest today, author Nicole Borginchnik, right? Nicole,
yes,
did I get that wrong? Nicole?
It was close. Borginchnik, that's about right.
Borginchnik, oh boy, bye. Yeah. But we're here today, and you're going to read us a story about the kids of Dandelion Township.
Yes, and basically this story is about kids who basically they learn about one another. They live in a fantasy world, and they face similar challenges to kids anywhere. So it's got a universal message. The first chapter is called Where Are You From? And I will start reading right now. One day after school, Tammy and Mary decide to take their new friend, Sherry, to the Dandelion Township Zoo. Since zookeepers were once circus trainers for these magic animals, visitors are allowed to do some very special things little children or even adults may never do anywhere else in the world. Under the zoo arch, Sherry and Tammy follow Mary, who walks up to the lion cage. The land behind the lion leads back into a deep zoo forest. To him, Tammy says, we are the ones in a cage. The lion suddenly stands up on a thick drum, proudly cracking a smile. He understands you, says Sherry. Do you think we can feel his whiskers since he's a magic lion? Mary asks, brushing the side of her cheek. The zookeeper, of course, is an adult. There is a very well-known rule in the township of Dandelion. Adults are to protect children but never interrupt them. The children are aware that in a normal zoo, anywhere else in our universe, it wouldn't be safe to feel a lion's whiskers. But this lion seems to understand Tammy very well. The zookeeper, who was once a circus lion tamer, is partially out of sight. She signals the lion to approach. The three friends stand at the bars with their eyes opening very wide as the lion proudly walks by the girls. Each one of them reaches through the bars to feel the whiskers of the magnificent lion. Then out walks the beautiful lioness, swishing her long tail back and forth, and the girls touch her tail too as she passes behind her mate. The girls, of course, realize if they had been anywhere else but in the township of Dandelion Zoon, they might have gotten their fingers bitten off. Ecstatic from the experience of feeling the lion's whiskers and the tail of the lioness in this magical town, the friends run up the path to the next area, a fenced-in corral with zebras. Why do you think they have so many stripes? Asked Mary. Maybe we all have to be different to appreciate each other, says Sherry. From what I've been told, even though they are magic zebras, they don't always like to be ridden, Tammy says. Hidden behind a group of zebras are two eavesdropping zookeepers, who know the vast mood swings of many zebras. They wipe the sweat from their foreheads in relief the girls won't be riding a zebra today. Hanging from a tree, a monkey watches the three friends. Sherry spots her, and the female monkey jumps down onto a zebra's back. The zebra tries to book her, but she grabs the long black zebra hair and enjoys the ride. "I'm glad that isn't me," says Sherry. "That monkey is a real bronco rider." The girls laugh and walk up to the top of a long hill where they see a man selling peanuts. They each buy a bag of peanuts, and pointing ahead, Tammy exclaims, "I see the elephants there." "It's elephant feeding day at the zoo, so let's give them some peanuts," hollers Mary. They skip down the hill and spot the zookeeper in the corral barn. She wears a kerchief around her neck and smiles watching and listening to the girls. The zookeeper holds her fingers together, putting them up to her mouth as if to eat. The elephant nods his trunk up and down. Sherry is the first to hand the magic elephant a peanut. The big, long elephant's trunk swings from side to side, then he rests his round snout on Sherry's arm, but is unable to take the single peanut between Sherry's fingers. "Like this," Tammy says, holding out her hand with the peanut lying flat on it. The elephant shakes his trunk up and down and then lands his snout on her hand and quickly gobbles up the peanut. "Where did you learn how to feed an elephant?" asks Sherry. "She was brought up in a zoo," Mary exclaims. "I certainly was not," Tammy says. "When my parents got divorced, my dad brought me to the zoo every weekend for almost a year." "When was that?" asks Sherry. "About a year and a half ago," replies Tammy. "How did you get him to quit? I'd be sick and tired of the zoo after a year," Mary says. "I was pretty tired of it, but my father would tell funny stories and do silly things," says Tammy. Sherry asks, "What kind of silly things?" Tammy smiles cunningly. "Well, if you hold a peanut in the palm of one hand and the entire bag of peanuts in the other, since the elephant sees the single peanut flat on your palm and cannot see the peanuts inside the brown paper bag, he'll only aim for the one peanut." "That sounds funny. Will you try it first, Sherry?" asks Mary. Sherry lays the single peanut on the palm of one open hand and the whole bag in the other. Along comes the big elephant. This time his ears are flapping back and forth. Thumps grow louder with each step as his feet land closer to the girls. They giggle. When he is near enough to see both hands, he looks at Sherry for a second, and then with one big swing of his trunk, he knocks the bag out of her hand. The bag lands by his feet, and the peanuts scatter all over the ground. As if this wasn't good enough, he then swings his long trunk in the opposite direction and swipes the single peanut left in Sherry's other hand. A very happy elephant indeed. He plops himself down behind his spilled bag of peanuts and eats them. Mary and Tammy laugh and laugh so hard they have tears in their eyes when suddenly Mary says, "What's wrong, Sherry?" Tears are streaming down Sherry's face, not from laughing, but crying. Sherry shrugs. Tammy asks Mary, "What's wrong with her?" "What's wrong with her?" Mary repeats. "Why did you tell Sherry that lie about the elephant?" "Why did I? For the same reason you laugh," Tammy insists. "Because it is funny. It was funny when my father played the joke on me, too." Tammy gives Sherry a big, friendly hug, and Sherry begins to dry her eyes. "Well, she's sensitive. Tell her you're sorry," Mary adds, giving Sherry a warm hug. "I'm sorry, too, Sherry, for laughing." Sherry looks at the elephant. He is so happy and content that she has to laugh a little. "Do you forgive me?" asks Tammy, and Sherry nods yes. "Are you glad you said the elephant's the best meal he's ever had?" Sherry laughs, knowing it would have been dangerous in any other zoo, but in the township of Dandelion, you are allowed to feed elephants or let them take your treats. Yes, I forgive you, and I'm glad. Sherry smiles broadly as she watches the cute, gigantic elephant eat his last few little peanuts. The three friends continue along their way. Both Mary and Tammy are busy eating their peanuts when suddenly Sherry says, "How about me?" Both girls cheerfully pour half their peanuts into Sherry's hands. "I have a question, little Sherry," says Tammy. "Why were you crying back there?" "A lot of things make me cry, I guess, since Katrina," Sherry says. "Where is Katrina?" asks Mary. "Don't you watch or read the news, Mary? Katrina, do you remember the hurricane?" asks Tammy. "Oh, I know about it," Mary says. "I just didn't know where it was." "In New Orleans, that's where I'm from." "It hit other places, too," Sherry says. "Oh," Mary says, "well, I'm glad you moved here or we wouldn't have been friends." "Good point," agrees Tammy. "The next time I want to play a joke on someone, I promise it will be on Mary's turn." And I'll brave the storm inside. "That's what my mother says is the hardest part now," Sherry tells her friends. "We can be brave together," Mary suggests. Tammy is already coming up with another prank, and I'm her new target. The three friends laugh and hold hands to lead through the gate of the Dandelion Township Zoo. Now I'm going to read Chapter 2. Chapter 2 is called Good Grades. Throughout the year, the three girls had become great friends and always managed to fit together in class. Today, they are watching their fourth-grade teacher hand everyone a graded test paper. When she gives a student named Sandy her test back, their teacher says, "Sandy, you have an A+. I wish your classmates would have your good grades." "So do I," whispers Sherry to her friends. Tammy and Mary look at their papers and nod their heads in agreement. "Another A. I don't know how she does it," Tammy says to Sherry as they walk out of the classroom. Mary joins them, dropping one of her books. "Look at them," she says while picking it up. "Tyler and Sandy both got A's. That's incredible. The big party was at Sandy's last weekend." "It had to take days to prepare," Sherry agrees. "Unless," Tammy says, as she slips into an empty classroom followed by her friends, "they cheated." "No, they didn't. I was sitting near them during class," Sherry admits. "Then how do they do it?" "Tyler has football practice 2 days after school, and he's in the chess club," says Mary. "And Sandy goes to the movies on Mondays. Miss and Mr. Popularity both go out with the cool kids every Friday," Tammy recalls. "I think we're going to have to run an investigation. It's just not fair. If it wasn't for Sandy's party, we would have done better." "We can't blame it on them," Sherry claims after the school bell rings. "We'll see about that," says Tammy, leading the girls through the hall. "We should have studied more," Sherry says, opening the school exit door, and they run down the stairs together. "I have an idea," Mary says. "We have a test on Wednesday. There's no way to pass it without studying. So where is Tyler now?" "He's at football practice," says Sherry. The girls are thinking the same thing, walking fast to the football field. Upon reaching their destination, they see Tyler playing with his team. "Now I think we should just go and study for our math test," Sherry says. "Not quite yet. Let's see where Sandy is," Tammy insists. "She goes to a movie every Monday afternoon with her big sister," says Mary. "It's only a few blocks from here. We'll find out what time the next movie starts," Sherry says. The girls walk 2.5 blocks to the local theater. They discover the next movie begins in only 10 minutes. They hide across the street behind a giant tree until the last person buys a ticket. Sandy never shows up. Walking back to school, Sherry says, "Let's study at the school library. They must have gone to the movie early to get good seats." "And popcorn," Tammy agrees, "and soda. She's lucky to have a big sister. I wish I had one," Mary shrugs solemnly. Once they return to school, Mary peers in the library window before walking in and jumps back yelling, "Ah! What is it?" Tammy asks. "Tyler's in there studying," she yelps, running down the hall with her friends following and all the three girls giggling. "Let's go back to the field and find out why Tyler's not playing," says Sherry. "You're getting good at this," Tammy says, and the girls smile at one another. "Where's Tyler?" Tammy shouts to the boys on the field. "Why do you want to know?" asks one of the players smugly. "His mother asked me to give him a message." "He'll be home soon," the coach replies. "Tyler didn't feel well. He must be on his way." "Oh!" Sherry explains, turning and cupping her hand around her mouth to hold back her laughter. Sherry, Mary, and Tammy run into the school and let out their laughter, which echoes through the long hall until they exit at the far end. They decide they should study together at the public library a few blocks away instead. Upon arrival, the girls push open the two tall wood doors. Inside the library, they see Sandy across from her older sister sitting at a table stacked with books. They can't believe their eyes, but are happy to solve their mystery. Now the three friends are certain Sandy and Tyler both study to get good grades. "Her sister probably put the whole party together," Sherry says. "I think we need to find our own library," says Mary. "We can study at my house today," Tammy says, "and mine tomorrow," suggests Sherry. "Then we will celebrate at my house on Thursday after we ace our exams," says Mary cheerfully. The girls nod their heads and skip together toward Tammy's house. "Do you think we should keep spying on them?" asks Mary. "We just got lucky," Sherry says. "We caught Tyler and Sandy red-handed studying. The next time, we'll have to use our common sense. If they happen to be where they say, then maybe they do extra homework late at night." Sherry's right, but she could have told us what she was thinking before we had fun catching them, Tammy says, and the three friends giggle together. During the school semester, Tammy, Sherry, and Mary continue to study more, and their grades steadily improve. There you go. That's two chapters.
Thank you, Nicole. A very nice story. I love the way the girls interact, how they play off one another, and you do a wonderful job of putting them together as friends. Where can our listeners buy the Kids of Dandelion Township so they can read the rest of the story?
Sure. It's actually available on Amazon.com, so that's the easiest place to purchase it. And it's $9.95, so
okay.
It's apropos for all of the books of that style, so it's priced well.
Okay. Okay, I'm cutting in and out. Can you hear me, guys?
Mm-hmm. I can hear you.
Okay, cool. All right, how about your other book? I know you have The Bridges, which is a picture book. Tell us about that, Nicole.
The Bridge actually is a small little fantasy story, and it's something that was inspired by a little stone bridge in a little town that I spent a lot of summers and weekends in, where my dad had a country house and eventually moved. And it's kind of the story of some friends just believing that there may be an ogre under a bridge, and then they decide to take a little raft down a little river and find that there's a magical little kingdom going off into the river, the stream, and the way in which it ravels around, and they see a swan with a frog riding on it. So I took that story, which I actually illustrated myself with colored pencils, and then I worked on the dandelion story from the standpoint I'd already come up with a story. It had already been put in certain early chapters in the earlier versions had been put in the LA Times kids' reading room, and I had found this incredible illustrator, Lisa M. Griffin, who was right. able to really draw these gorgeous children in a beautiful, magical town in such a wonderful way that I was very excited to use the first book, the fantasy element of it, and go even
for
further
the second
with
book.
The fantasy.
Yeah,
in the second.
I can see that. Yeah, that's very cute. I love the pictures. The pictures are gorgeous. How about you mentioned the L.A. Times Kids Reading Room? You have also had stories published in Ladybug Flights, right? And Stories for
yes.
Children magazine. Okay. And where can you tell us where they can find out more about you and your books? Your website.
Sure. It's NicoleBorgenicht.com, and also if you you can find out a lot about the books, and also LisaMGriffin.com also has information about her illustrations too, and basically there's information about each of us on each other's sites. So there's a lot.
Right, and the World of Ink Network. You're also on the book tour, right? You're doing that right now, and I'm
great.
Pretty sure, right?
Yeah,
you can find
yeah,
out.
We're part
you can find out information
tour.
For you about at their site too.
Absolutely.
Okay. Okay, Chrissy.
Yes, ma'am. I was just listening to all the wonderful, wonderful comments. Now, Nicole. On your book, what inspired you to write it? Are you there?
The initial inspiration, I think, was literally the hurricane that occurred and sort of combining political history with my friends and my upbringing and putting together a story that was about people all coming from different walks of life and different experiences throughout my childhood, throughout actually even my 20s. So I think a lot of the lessons within this story go from when I was, you know, 7, 8 years old until I was literally into my adulthood, ironically, because friendships are so important during all of those years. And while they are important later in life too, they're really your formative years.
Right.
So the inspiration is about how much your friends really mean to you, and in terms of whatever experiences you may have in life, how your friends' responses and reactions are such a great part of you're being able to have a positive outlook about everything.
Right, and I think that your characters, children can relate well to your characters. I like the way they talk to each other. They're just wonderfully put together. I really enjoyed the story. I've read the whole story, and I loved it. Thank you.
Oh, yes, definitely. Well, our time is just about up. We want to thank you so much, Nicole Borgenicht, for being on our show and reading a few chapters of your wonderful book, The Kids of Dandelion Township. We really enjoyed it.
Great.
Thank you so much.
Well,
and yes, thank you, Nicole, for being here, really.
Okay, and thanks for the comment. Appreciate it.
It was muchly deserved, muchly deserved. Well, that looks like that's about it for today. We would like to say a special thanks to the World of Ink Network for hosting our show. Thank you, Virginia Greener and Marcia Cook. Here's here at Blog Talk Radio's World of Ink Network. I'm Chrissy Condaleo, and you can find me at www.epiescreations.com. My co-host is J.D. Holliday, and you can find her at www.thebookgarden.net. And again, you can find us and more information about our books and our authors at www.itsstorytimeforkids.blogspot.com. Thank you for joining us. Next week, we will have two books for you. The first one is by Bernard Kowalski. It is Alexis and Ralph the Dragon. The second one is Something Greater Than Fear by Christy Condaleo. Bye, everyone.
Bye.